Thank you all for coming out this Sunday evening, and thanks for clapping and singing so enthusiastically. You're a good crowd. We'd like to also thank those who download these talks as podcasts from iTunes, invite your comments, correspondence, and feedback by emailing us at utahchristians@gmail.com. We also have a membership class at our website, utahchristians.org. I'd like to thank those that have taken the membership class, become members. We couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about having a song in your heart. We all face difficulties in life, challenges at work, people who are hard to get along with. There's stress, disappointments, annoyances. It's easy to bow down under the pressures of life, start complaining, talking about our problems, becoming negative, discouraged. But here's our message for this evening. We were not created to endure life. We were created to enjoy life. We can't control what happens on the outside, but we can control what happens on the inside. Unfortunately, for a lot of people, happiness is based on their circumstances. It's the weekend, I'm happy. I got a good refund from the IRS, I'm happy. I just stuffed myself at my favorite restaurant. I'm happy. What we're going to talk about tonight is not temporary material happiness, which is called in Sanskrit sukha, and the opposite of that is material distress, which is also temporary, which is called dukkha. We're talking about a different category of happiness. We'll call it joy in English, and in Sanskrit, the word is ananda. And that kind of happiness is not dependent upon what's happening around you. It comes from a spring bubbling from deep within you. Doesn't mean you're maniacally jumping up and down all day long. Joy is manifest as a calm delight, contentment, peacefulness. This is a picture, I don't know if you can see it very well. This is a picture of our spiritual master, Prabhupada, and this was his passport picture that he got taken in India before he came to America in 1964. One day, one of Prabhupada's disciples happened to come across his passport in a drawer, pulled it out, opened it up, looked at the picture, and he said, "Prabhupada, you don't look very happy in this picture." Prabhupada said, "Oh," took it and looked at it. He said, "That was one of my greatest moments of ecstasy." The joy that we're talking about goes deeper than the outside. Once you've awakened your relationship with God, it is so deep, it is so enriching that you become oceanic in your happiness, your peace, and your contentment. The ocean itself is ever being filled by rivers from all different directions, and yet itself, because of its deepness and its vastness and its richness, is always placid and always serene, no matter what provocations or agitations are around it. The economy may be down. Traffic is bad. Someone's speaking against me. If you're feeling this ananda joy, no big deal. Life is good. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm even more thankful that I have meaning, purpose, and direction in my life. When you're thinking like that, you're tapping the joy or the ananda that's inside you. George Bernard Shaw said, "This is the true joy in life. Being used for God's mighty purposes, being thoroughly worn out, having lived your life with gusto and purpose, and being a force of nature instead of a feverish, little, selfish clod of ailments and grievances, complaining that the world will not devote itself to making you happy." So-called material happiness will give a little temporary relief. Having a good meal will relieve your hunger. Seeing a movie will relieve your boredom. Getting intoxicated will relieve your misery. But in each and every case, after a little while, the problem, hunger, boredom, misery, comes roaring back twice as strong. We stopped in Yosemite on the way to do a Festival of Colors in Santa Cruz in October, and I got a case of poison ivy. I found that as soon as I gave in to the desire to scratch it, it would give me relief for a few seconds, but after a while, it would come back twice as strong as it was before.
What we know of as material happiness is not anything lasting. It is just a temporary relief from suffering. In Sanskrit, it's called maya shukai. Shukha, as I said, means happiness, and maya means false. It's false happiness because it leads to more attachment and suffering. Here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, material consciousness is the cause of one's dissatisfaction. Although the spirit soul is transcendental to matter, he does not protect himself from being dragged down into the material quicksand. Prabhupada says here in the purport, the soul is actually Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Under the clutches of maya or illusion, however, he suffers. Imagine this, eternal, blissful, knowledgeable spirit soul, some or other ends up suffering from birth, death, disease, and old age. Prabhupada says one has to be serious to cure this condition of material existence and transfer himself to Krishna consciousness. For thus his long suffering may be mitigated without difficulty. Our transferal process is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That is the tried and sure, time-honored and tested means to transfer your consciousness from dull, dark, dead, depressing, negative matter to light, bliss, and eternal knowledge. When you think about it, we create our own unhappiness. William Blake said, those who seeketh only themselves to please create a hell in heaven's despite. Earlier in that same poem, he says, those who love God and their fellow man, they build a heaven in hell's despair. Our question tonight is, which one are you going to be? Are you going to be a bringer of hell to heaven or a bringer of heaven to hell? After the tornado in New Orleans, Katrina, a reporter was interviewing people one after another. They all complained about the loss of power, all the inconvenience that the storm had caused them. One lady came up beaming. There was something clearly different from her. She had a smile on her face. She was radiating joy and peace. The reporter asked, almost sarcastically, what are you here to complain about? Tell us what's wrong. She said, nothing's wrong. I'm not here to complain. I'm here to thank God I made it out alive, to thank God that my children are safe and healthy. This reporter had heard so many people complaining about the loss of power, the loss of air conditioning, how hot it was. He said, what about you? Do you have AC? Do you have power? She said, no, I don't have AC. I don't have power. I don't have a house. It was blown away in the storm. But I'll tell you what I do have. She pulled out a little volume of scripture. She says, I have my hope, I have my joy, and I have my God. No man can take away your joy, no storm, no bad break, no traffic. There is a well in you which will never run dry. Material shukha, material so-called sense gratification, you have to go back again and again and again. You're getting filled and then you get thirsty, you're empty, you get filled, you get thirsty, you get empty. It's not ultimately satisfying. But the spiritual waters, which are drunk through the ear of the name, fame, form, personality, pastimes, and paraphernalia of the Lord, fully satisfy one. In South India, there are 12 Alwars who are famous. They lived many centuries ago. Great devotees of Lord Krishna. One of them was a king named Kulashekar. He said, when I chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and after chanting, the thought of sex life crosses my mind, my lips curl in distaste. Imagine the implications of this statement. It is said, Yan maitunadi grihamedi shukam hitucham. Shukam, the greatest material happiness, the greatest material sense gratification. And even Freud made a plausible argument that everything that goes on, materially motivated, has as its basis sex life And yet Maharaj Kulashekar, on the basis of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, when he thought of sex life, he was so far above it. He was on such a stratospheric level of enjoyment that the thought of sex life caused his lips to curl and he spat into the dust. Well, Charu, if that's so, if we have a ever-springing well of joy within us that will never dry up, why are most people not feeling it? I'll tell you why they're not feeling it. They're not feeling it because they're not filling it. The reservoir of pleasure, the Almighty Lord, lives within our hearts as a super soul. Now, we can't just sit back and wait for him to show himself, for him to prove himself. He's God. He doesn't have to prove himself. He doesn't have to make the first move. It's up to us to fill our mouths and fill our ears with his holy names, and then he shows up. Unless we joyously call upon him, why should he come unbidden? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is said in one verse in the Bhagavad Gita that if you chant even one time, and you've all done that at least once tonight, there's an eternal benefit. There's a deposit made in your eternal bank account which can never be taken away. If you become 2% Krishna consciousness in one life, in your next life, you'll begin where you left off, at 3%. Having said that, it's not enough just to come and chant Hare Krishna one time or to do it whimsically or intermittently. The key is that if you, and I think you all do, want to live in continual joy, you have to regularly and consistently keep yourself filled up with the joyful Lord in the form of his sound vibration. Nobody has ever chanted Hare Krishna and been sad afterwards. To get started, it might have taken an effort, overcoming some laziness, some slothfulness, inertia, negativity, but once started, no one ever finished by being depressed. After this talk, we're going to chant, and you can see if I'm right or not. This is another verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the joy that is generated, Krishna, Rama, Hare, from the churning of those syllables. The conception of servitude to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy that even the joy of oneness or merging with the Absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, could not compare to a drop of it. Now, here's a word to the devotees who externally chant a regulated number of mantras every day. We have to chant attentively, making sure that it percolates from the lips and the ears down into the heart where the Lord resides. Doesn't do any good to have the song of Hare Krishna in your mind and on your lips, but not to have a song resonating within your heart. Satatam kirtayanto mam is the advice of the great sages. Kirtan is what we did. Japa, Jai Krishna has his bead bag there. That's what one can do during the day, quietly in a normal conversational tone of voice. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Eventually it becomes just part of your breathing. Only when the heart is continually singing will you have continual joy. Does that make sense? There'll be joy when you get up in the morning if you have a song in your heart. If you have a song in the heart, there'll be a joy as you go through the day, feeling honored to render personal service to the Lord. Joy as you share the message of Bhagavad Gita, Bible, Quran, and change others' lives for the better. Joy at growing wholesome, organic food, which will be offered to the Lord. Joy when sitting down and taking that vegetarian prasadam. Joy at the sound of the hand cymbals and the mridanga drum. Joy in organizing festival celebrations. Joy when dropping off to sleep at night, worn out after a full day of enriching service. This joy is called Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Vardhanam means a tidal wave. In this material world, tidal wave has limits. In Thailand, when the tidal wave came, if you were about a quarter of a mile and you could see it coming and you were a good runner, you could outrun the tidal wave. It hit the beach, it went about a half a mile before it exhausted itself. But this is a tidal wave that's not material, has no limits, gets better and better and better and better and better and better. All through the day, on the inside, we should be singing in some shape, way, or form, always making melody within our heart, thinking about Krishna's goodness, thanking Him for our life, for our family, for our health, for our talents, for our service. This is more than just being positive and having a good attitude. This is sending constant messages to the Lord within the heart. It is said that if you take a step towards Him, He takes 100 steps towards you. Steps full of power, steps full of wisdom, of creativity, of good breaks, opportunities, victory. Life takes things out of us. Stress, competition, pollution, traffic. We have to develop this habit of being ever filled. Going to the church or the temple on Sunday is good. It fills you up for the day. But Monday morning, you're in a traffic jam. Monday afternoon, a co-worker aggravates you. Monday evening, your child gets on your nerves. All that was poured into you on Sunday is used up. You know that once a week is not enough. Taking a shower once a week is better than not taking any shower at all. But everybody knows that to be really clean, you should take 2 showers a day, morning and evening. Similarly, our temple program is that we get up in the morning and we shower. We clean our spirit by chanting first thing in the morning. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then in the evening, after we've been all beaten up and leaked throughout the day, we top back up again before going to bed by getting together and chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we always carry, during the day, our japa beads. Ever get a helium balloon for your birthday? It's all full and it's pushing upwards, it'll go right to the end of the string. In fact, if you release the string, it'll go up and stay on the ceiling for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. But after some time, starts to droop a little bit, come down off the ceiling, shrinks, gets a little more wrinkled, goes lower, lower, lower. Eventually, it ends up on the floor. It can't rise at all. There's nothing wrong with the balloon. If you fill it back with helium, it's just as good as it was, and it'll go back up onto the roof. Now, in our lives, every time we complain, we leak. Every time we're stressed out, we're leaking. Every time we gossip about someone else, we're leaking. When we worry, we're leaking. Before we know it, we have no joy, no passion. We've stopped pursuing our dreams. That's why we have to keep ever filled. And those who are expert spiritualists, they learn how to turn potential deflation into inflation. Stuck in traffic? Hare Krishna, the Lord's got me right where He wants me. Complaining about your job? Hare Krishna, I'm glad I have a job. Not getting along with another resident temple devotee? Hare Krishna, this is an opportunity to be a peacemaker. Those things that could deflate you, you learn the art of using them to inflate you and to fill yourself back up. Too many people spend their time worrying negative. Doesn't take any credit, doesn't take any expertise or effort to go in the downward direction. Charu, I don't like my job. These people aggravate me. I don't feel like cooking dinner for the family tonight. Nobody appreciates me. I've been volunteering at the Red Cross for 6 years and not one person has said a good thing to me. Turn it around and start making melodies in your heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You may not like your job, but at least you have a job. If you'll be grateful where you are, then Krishna will get you to where you're supposed to be. You may have some big obstacles facing you now. People, circumstances coming against you. But you don't have to live upset, worried, discouraged. Traffic is bad, economy is down, trouble in the Middle East. Here's a good phrase to remember. When you complain, you remain. When you praise, you're raised. When you have joy, then you have the strength that you need to overcome your obstacles, to outlast the attacks, to run your race to the end. I ran the Los Angeles Marathon several times. One year, I remember reaching mile 18. Something was wrong. I was tired. I was sore. Seriously thinking of dropping out. Came around a corner, and there's a Baptist band, a Baptist choir from one of the churches. And they're just belting out a praise song. I might have dropped out of the race right at that point or shortly thereafter. But when I heard that song, it gave me new life. It kept me moving ahead. I picked up my heels and I finished with panache. I stopped thinking about how sore I was and how tired I was. And I started noticing what a beautiful day it was that God created. I started thanking Him for my health. I started feeling myself well able. And that all kept me moving forward. I heard a story about a little bird, smaller than the birds we have here. Lived in a cage, used to get on his swing, go back and forth, and sing all day long, from morning to sunset. Not a care in the world. One day, his mistress was cleaning the bottom of the cage with a vacuum hose when the phone rang. So she reached with her left hand to answer the phone. Without noticing it, she raised the vacuum hose and sucked the little bird into the vacuum without noticing it. After she finished her phone call, she said, "Where's my bird?" Started looking all over the house, upstairs, downstairs, behind the cabinets, behind the refrigerator, and then it occurred to her that possibly the unthinkable may have happened. She ran over to the vacuum cleaner, she opened the bag, and sure enough, there was the bird. He was okay, but he was obviously disheveled looking, bombed out. She dusted him off, cleaned him up as best that she could, and put him back on his swing. Now, the interesting thing, she said, he never, ever again sang. After that, he just sat on his swing and stared out into space. He lost his song. Sometimes it happens that way with us. We're going along in life, singing from morning to night. Everything's fine. Got a great job, kids. And then we hit some turmoil. We go through a disappointment. A friend betrays us. We don't get that promotion we thought we deserved. So to speak, we get sucked down the vacuum hose of life. Thankfully, we made it out okay. But too often, we've lost our song. No more joy. No more passion. We've left aside our dreams. We're just enduring life. And no longer enjoying life, going through the motions. The joy, which is supposed to be bubbling, has become clogged up with stress, discouragement, and self-pity. But I'm here today to tell you that Krishna did not bring you this far to leave you. When those things happen, you need to learn the art of getting your song back. If life knocked you down, get back up again. It may not have been fair, but Krishna is fair. He knows how to take what was meant for your harm and use it for your advantage. If you'll get your song back, Krishna will make the rest of your life the best of your life. He has a new song for you, but it's not going to do you any good sitting around dwelling on what didn't work out, negative and complaining. Quit thinking about what you've lost and start thinking about what you have. Think about the new doors that are going to open to you in the future, the new people you're going to meet, the connections that are going to cross your path, new ideas, new opportunities. Get your praise back. And when you do that, you'll start feeling that joy bubbling up again. Your passion will be revived and restored. And that's when Krishna can pay you back for what you've lost. All through the day, Lord, you created millions of universes just from your breathing. You spoke worlds into existence. You created us out of your divine self. You have a plan for our victory. I praise you for your greatness and your goodness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Lord, you are bigger than this health challenge. You are bigger than this financial difficulty. You are bigger than these legal complications. In the midst of troubles, you'll have a song of praise on your lips. On the inside, you'll be filled, you'll be strong, you'll be full of joy, and that's also what allows Krishna to turn things around. You may be having a tough time right now, or tough times may be looming right around the corner. I'm asking you to meet it with a song. Life is too short to go through it negative, weighed down by pressure. There's a well on the inside of all of us. It's supposed to be continually bubbling up. All through the day, not only have a song of praise on your lips, but make sure it gets down into your heart. It's not enough just to do it on Sunday. You have to learn the art of being ever filled. If you'll develop this ability to make melody in your heart, you'll be strong when others are weak around you. You'll be smiling when others are frowning. You'll be singing when others are complaining. You'll be enjoying when others are enduring. You'll be over when others are under. You'll thrive when others are struggling to survive. And when others are not feeling anything, you will be filling yourself up with joy. All that to come in this life and in the next life, you can look forward to going back home, back to Godhead.